Taylor, let's catch up week five. And I know we've got five ridiculous thoughts from week five, but I'm going to let you kick it off with number one.
Number one, Sunday Night Football, Cowboys against the 49ers, the matchup that we had all circled, highlighted, we're looking so forward to. And it was just a complete domination by the 49ers. We all have no doubts now that the 49ers are the best team in the league. Cowboys could not keep up. It was just a 10 out of 10 performance on all fronts for the 49ers, starting with their explosive offense, their defense suffocating Dak, suffocating that Cowboys, like, fantastic offense. It's just, it's amazing to me to see what Brock Purdy is able to do. I know everybody says that Kyle Shanahan's like this guru coach, you know, one of the best masterminds, offensive play callers. But at the end of the day, Brock Purdy's the one that's going out there and actually delivering. He's the one that's getting pressured in the pocket and knowing exactly what to do. I saw a crazy stat, which is Brock Purdy is the first quarterback to start their career 10-0 since Ben Roethlisberger. 49ers are just the most complete team in the league.
It's pretty much that. And I know there was some argument about it heading into this game. And you and I said so many times, you know, we're always looking at best, who's on top, whatnot. And it's tough. You know, you're looking at separate resumes for separate teams and you're trying to decipher, all right, if these two teams played. But the beauty of the NFC this season is that we don't have to say if, because it's going to happen before the playoffs, right? We had said it. Look, you're going to get Cowboys Niners, it's going to happen. So you don't have to ask yourself who's better. You're going to see it on the field. The Eagles are going to play the Cowboys twice. The Eagles are going to play the Niners in the regular season this season. All of those things, deciphering who the best in the NFC is, you didn't really have to sit there and break it down scientifically because we were going to see it. And seeing this will be impossible not to remember forever for this season, to know that the Niners are theoretically that much better than the Cowboys, which was stunning. And we knew that the Niners were theoretically the best team, obviously undefeated.
They scored 30 or more points in 8 straight games, one of the longest streaks, like top 5 of all time. And then we know what their defense can do. And so it's tough for another team to compete. Like we said last year, they were a quarterback away from going to the Super Bowl. And
well,
they've only gotten better.
And again, and it's tough. And it's not that we meant a Brock Purdy. It's that in the game, obviously, Hassan Reddick with the hit on Purdy and what the Eagles did to knock quarterbacks out of that game. It just felt like the Niners were, of course, playing from behind in that regard, of course, the entire time. I, of course, like to credit the Eagles for what happened there. But it's so true. People wonder, what if everyone was healthy on that day through that entire day? Look at what Kittle did also. I mean, it's just funny.
Three touchdowns, and then before that, he hadn't had one all season.
And you forget these little pieces about what the Niners can do because it's so many different ways. And having Christian McCaffrey, another record setting, you know, with he just scores a touchdown every game.
And they're able to ground and pound on the ground, complete running back room. And then they can stretch it with Debo, Brandon Ayuk. It's like they've got just a plethora of weapons, and it's impossible for defenses to cover them all.
You said it, best roster. They're proving it week in and week out. And again, when you look at the teams that they are playing and that they are defeating in this way, and I know we'll get to it, you know, even week one where people sort of discounted the idea of how they dismantled the Steelers in Pittsburgh, but their resume is certainly building. And this Cowboys win with that score so definitive in a game that the Cowboys never had a shot at is just going to resonate for a while. And it's going to feel like that is the best team until somebody beats them, certainly. And yes, we will see the Eagles and the Niners will play, whether they're undefeated by the time they get there. That's still to be determined, but that one is going to resonate. So number one, week five tells us right now the Niners are that team. And there's no stopping it. And there's nothing, there's no hesitation around Brock Purdy.
No, there's just none at all.
There's none.
Like he is the real deal.
That is, and that one is for his mantelpiece. That performance against the Cowboys, especially in a game where Dak is throwing pick.
It's so funny to me that Kyle Shanahan tried so hard to make Trey Lance the guy, but like, I mean, there was just once Brock Purdy got in.
And Taylor, there were friends of mine at the game last night, and the chants in the stadium were, we want Trey, because there's Trey on the Cowboys sideline now watching Dak. And it just, I mean, really, that was ridiculous. All right.
Something I never thought that I would say for number two.
Taylor, please just say it out loud because it's
almost. What is going on with the Patriots? And is this Bill Belichick's last season with them. Tough conversations are going to be had this week. It's a disaster. It's a complete utter disaster.
The worst two losses of the Belichick era, back-to-back weeks of this season. 38-3 against the Cowboys and
largest shutout home loss in franchise history.
34-0. I mean, the nothing is, I don't know which part's worse, right? Is it the 34 or is it the nothing? It doesn't really matter. They're both egregious. And of course, putting them together as back-to-back weeks, you just wonder. And we've said beautiful things about Mac Jones in the past, but this one's tough. This one just looks inexplicable.
Yeah, but it's not all on Mac Jones, because Mac Jones has got no weapons. He's got nobody to throw to. There's not much he can do there. I think it's easy to always circle the quarterback and want to put the blame on him. And a lot of times it's warranted. But in this situation, it just seems like it's Bill Belichick has made bad decisions in personnel.
It just feels like Belichick makes all the decisions that matter for this team. But even when it comes to coaches and everything else, it's so interesting to think about a time when someone would have to make a decision about Bill Belichick. You know, that's the part that makes this so interesting. But for history to be discussed about New England in this way, because we're so used to talking about history, but now that we're talking about worst losses in Patriots history, that's scary. We just never thought we'd saw that. And again, it's because, to his credit, I mean, again, they were so competitive even with Cam Newton. And then when Mac first showed up, it felt like, okay, we're getting this team to the playoffs. Yes, an ugly loss to the Bills 2 years ago in the playoffs, but getting there. And now in that division, Taylor, it just looks, you're looking up in a division where clearly the Bills and the Dolphins, despite what happened to the Bills in London, the Bills and the Dolphins look poised for something special, and we know it's just such an uphill battle for New England. It's really terrifying to think about. All right, from that number two, I'm going to push to number three here, Taylor, and I know this one was tough for you to watch. I know, and I know even when I tried to call you during the game, you were not having it. I understand, but number three, really strange what happened in Pittsburgh. I don't even know how you explain really that Ravens Steelers score. I mean, the score is, of course, it's a competitive game amongst division rivals and such a storied rival. But now that you look back and you think Lamar's 1-3, Taylor, in his career against the Steelers, the
Ravens. Yes, but he hasn't. I mean, like, that's the thing, is it's a kind of a convoluted stat because he hasn't even played in that many of those games. Sure. He's been injured, but yeah, look, this was a game that the Ravens should have won. They went on the road in Cincinnati and beat the Bengals. They went on the road in Cleveland and beat the Browns. And then they should have gone on the road in Pittsburgh and beaten the Steelers. They are the much better team. And it was, as Kyle Brandt said on Good Morning Football, a case of the dropsies all day. Lamar Jackson put the ball in the hands of his receivers multiple times to have a drop in the end zone, a drop where he should have gained 30 yards on a play instead of turning, you know, it was just so many. It was Nelson Aguilar, it was OBJ, it was Zay Flowers, it was Bateman.
Even Andrew.
If I were Lamar Jackson, I would have been extremely frustrated. And then there was a call that was not called on Zay Flowers when TJ Watt punched him in the neck. Like, how that was missed was beyond me. But yeah, it was more frustrating than most games. Even if it was like a blowout loss, like, it would have felt better because of how those were balls that should have been catched. Kind of errors should not happen in a professional football game.
Self-inflicted wounds, catches that we're used to seeing in the NFL, even to see Mark Andrews dropping a pass in the end zone. It's just really, it's something that you can't, you're not expecting that coming into a game like that, especially a game that is so laser focused with who the opponent is and what it means to those two franchises to play each other. And then it comes down to, you know, there's a blocked punt in the end zone. There's just so many strange things that have to happen, but that's going to be one that, look, because of what this division has done so far this season, and really largely because of how the Bengals have stumbled out of the gate, in a way, you're still level. You know, there's nothing really to panic about. I mean, the Steelers are on top of that division right now, which is not what a lot of people would have said through 5 weeks that we were going to be seeing in that division. But this is what it is. This is why it is a long season, and this is why things in the end will likely come out in the wash. But Taylor, that was just odd. I mean, that certainly number three on the list is just Ravens circled 100 times. And number four, Taylor, I sort of want to go back to Sunday Night Football because there's a piece of this that is just Cowboys related. How does that happen? How does the Cowboys in a season in which they've lost a game, that we certainly thought they were absolutely going to win against the Cardinals that they come out the wrong side of. It just seems like in a season like that, how do the Cowboys lose that game in that way? It just seems impossible, Taylor. I don't understand how that score comes out of that game. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. When you look at that in the end and you see 42-10, how's that possible? You know, a game that is 14-7 at one point and then is 42-10, it just doesn't make sense at all. It really is so ridiculous. I don't even know really. It's a game where you're saying beforehand, all right, who is the best team truly in the NFC? And we said it in this conversation about the Niners, and you're looking at it and you're deciphering, all right, it seems as if clearly it's the Cowboys, it's the Niners, it's the Eagles, and they're going to get on the field together at some point in the regular season, and we're going to let it all play out. And there it is playing out, and 42-10. How is 42-10 the score of that game? And you look at it, and it's just weapons that you're almost forgetting about. The fact that George Kittle is at 3 touchdowns in that game in a play that they largely stole from the Lions, because earlier in the day, Goff pulled off that same ridiculous play to Laporta, and now we're seeing it as well. I really just don't understand. It's really just staggering that that is what we got from that game. A game of that magnitude that is seemingly the game of the week with these two powerhouses going at it. It's just so funny that that's what it comes down to. How is it that a game where the buildup is to that point, Taylor, and we know it's Purdy versus Dak, and Dak's got this opportunity to really prove himself. And then you think about it also, Taylor, look at what happened with the Cowboys the last two seasons, how their seasons ended against the 49ers. Of course, we all remember the two seasons ago, there's Dak, and Dak is just running down the field, trying to get the playoff, Taylor, and he's trying, the season ends when Dak just couldn't get the ball spiked in time, and it was absolute mayhem where you think, okay, Dak's going to come around and here we go. They're going to come back in this game. They're pulling it together against the Niners. That doesn't happen two seasons ago. Then last year in a game that the score tells us it was a close game in the playoffs. But again, Taylor, it wasn't really a close game. When you watch that game, it never felt like the Cowboys in that playoff game last year had an opportunity to win in the divisional round. And now you look at this game on Sunday night and Taylor, how do you explain 42-10? It just doesn't make sense.
And just full disclosure, my internet just went out on my computer, so I just re-accessed Sam, so I've not been listening to you for the last minute and a half.
Well, Taylor, here's the fun part. All I was saying essentially was this game of this magnitude, especially for the Cowboys in a season where they've already lost the game to the Cardinals, where it's a stumbling block game, where the team seemingly through mm-hmm. 2 weeks, again, through 2 weeks, this is a team with a plus 60 point differential that feels like the best team in the league. Of course, yeah, it was against the Giants and the Jets, but you've already kind of had that game, which seems like a hiccup, which will bring you together because the Cardinals, okay, maybe it was overlooked. You've got the Diggs injury that you're dealing with. And now here it is, the Niners, the game that is circled.
The team that's knocked you out of the playoffs the last 2 years, the team that you should be coming out ready to play, ready to get your revenge game, and you just came up short in every way.
I mean, short doesn't even begin to explain it. I mean, that's it, Taylor. I can't imagine. And as I was saying, you know, the ridiculous Kittle play, Kittle in the end zone 3 times, McCaffrey in the end zone again. I mean, just all the things that.
And that's kind of the same. I mean, going back to the 49ers statement, it's just kind of it's when you've got that many weapons that you can do that much with, and a quarterback that's mobile, that can also move, that is able to, you know, change plays. I don't know. It's a tough team to really contend with. And it just showed that they're in two different leagues right now.
And that we didn't think. And that, and the last stamp I'll put on that is we didn't think that coming in. That was that's a game, a 3.5 point spread where three is essentially going to use the home team. You know, that tells you that the league and the public and Vegas feels like that is going to be an evenly matched game, and it's anything but. All right. So Taylor, that's 4 being the Cowboys. The number 5 crucial thought from week 5, and I don't do this often, and I have a very interesting debate about this in general, Taylor, and I just want to ask you overall how you feel. Going to games for me is such a debate always, because
because you can't see as much as you can see on TV.
It just become, I mean, it's an incredible television. It's just such a television experience to be at an NFL game, and when you go, the experience is about being there, the people you're with, the camaraderie of other fans, you know, there's all of that, you know, the tailgating, and look, Allie, my wife Allie, was into the idea and wanted to go. And I thought, you know what, this will be beautiful. It'll be an adorable little date for her and I. Of course, if the Eagles lose, I'll be miserable, but let's do it. And so we decided we go to SoFi, which, by the way, I hadn't been to, which is an incredible, amazing, just ridiculous
stadium. I didn't know you hadn't been yet.
It's funny. I had missed the Super Bowl there. And I haven't been, and I've been asked many times, but again, because I love the experience of being on the couch and viewing the NFL that way, where you've got control of everything, right?
I also feel like we're so used to going and working at games that when we have a Sunday off where we're not actually covering a game, it's kind of, nice to just stay home. Like the last thing you want to do is go to a
and there's so much, and there's so much you want to be keeping track of course. So there I was. So Allie got me there. I loved it. We had an incredible time. Thanks to my friend Chris, who bought tickets for my birthday for the game. So that way, really just an adorable over the top item. But there we are at the game. And of course, yes, the Eagles did win. But what stood out to me in the game, Taylor, because this has been brought up so many times, this idea of the tush push or the brotherly shove, this play where Hurts lines up behind center and every other team calls it a quarterback sneak. But the league now, because the Eagles have been so effective at running this play, and because they're converting it at a 90% clip, there's been a lot of talk about it. And even Micah Parsons had said, God, this seems like a cheat code for the Eagles where they're running this play. And then the NFL, according to Jason Kelsey, handed out a warning the week before this game about the Eagles potentially lining up offsides for this play. And at this Rams game on Sunday with Allie and I there, they actually ran the play 6 times, Taylor. And of course, the most crucial of those was the play that ended the first half, was Hurts pushing into the end zone at 1 yard after a pass interference penalty in the end zone. And really, that was, in many ways, when you look back, that was the Rams' last gasp at being in the game, because the Rams had just gone up 14-10, give the ball back to the Eagles with 32 seconds left in the half. The Eagles drive and then finish with that brotherly shove into the end zone. But they ran it 6 times, Taylor. They gained a yard on 5 of those. And even on the 6th one, when they essentially on 4th and 1 were just trying to finish out the clock against the Rams, they gained nearly a yard. They had to look at it on instant replay, and it was decided that they had come up just short. It all depended on where you stop the forward progress. But Taylor, this play is, it's not illegal. It's just ridiculously effective for this team and this personnel. And it helps that Hurts, Hurts squats, 600 pounds? I mean, like these things play a factor. I think it's just one of those things where the Eagles have figured out
working for them.
It's working for them.
It feels like it's a cheat code for them.
It works for them. And there's a lot of teams that run their plays. Credit to Kyle Shanahan, who I think saw a play the Lions run on Sunday. And then
this is my favorite play. It went Purdy to McCaffrey, back to Purdy to Kittle.
And again, it was a play that
good luck keeping up with that.
And Goff and the Lions had run it to Laporta, and there the Niners are using it. So look,
that's another team I love following.
It's a copycat league. It's a copycat league, Taylor, and that's gonna happen. And so for the Eagles, they're gonna keep doing this. And it was great to be there to see them lining up for that play 6 times and it worked, and that's fine. So those are 5 crucial thoughts. I think you're right. I think the Lions are on the edit floor for us here on getting in on the 5, but the Lions are certainly a team. Maybe, in fact, maybe when we're talking, Taylor, about the best teams in the NFC, and whether we're just discarding the Cowboys from that, which I don't want to, because the Cowboys are
going to be. No, I don't think we should discard it, but I just think that the 49ers are on another level from everyone else. And then there's the 49ers.
And frankly, and one thing, yes, the Eagles and Niners will play in the regular season, but right now I think you're right. So Taylor, there's plenty more for us to catch up for. I can't wait to see what Week 6 brings. And I know we get another London game, which I think I kind of like. I don't know that I did it at first. Now I kind of like the waking up early on Sunday and having it.
I don't mind the waking up early part, but
yeah.
It's always interesting to see how the teams respond and react. The Jaguars had a clear advantage this year. They had been there for 2 weeks when they played the Bills last week. Yeah.
That was smart by them.
It was smart. I know the Ravens are spending the full week over there. I'm not sure how the Titans are doing it this upcoming week, but.
Well, it'll be fun. I mean, the Ravens and the Titans are both going to be looking for that bounce back. All right, Taylor, this was another fun one. 5 crucial thoughts. Stay with us. And of course, we'll be right back with you. And we apologize again. Week 4 was a ridiculous week.
Let's just say story to come for another time, but yeah. I almost missed a flight.